Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
The Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. How many teams were better than the Texans last week? 713-780-3776. Who you got, Lakers?
I honestly think that the only team, Kansas City, for sure. You start with Kansas City.
Are you talking overall or this past week?
I'm saying this past week, Kansas City was, I think, still the best team until someone knocks them off. So I'm going to say Kansas City is still there. I think teams that were there a week ago are now gone. I think that when you look at the AFC and then you look at the overall NFL, there's not a whole lot of teams that I believe in are better than the Houston Texans. And I think that the one that's interesting, I think Buffalo really looks like they're a contender. And I didn't think they were going to be. And I was wrong about that. And I think Buffalo has climbed up, but I think that Baltimore obviously has fallen back. I think Cincinnati's a team that as much talent that they have to climb back from 0-2. So I think that from the standpoint of the Eagles lost, so many teams lost that to me, I have the Texans at number two. I have the Texans right below the Kansas City Chiefs as the second best team in the NFL after everything that happened through last week. I know that we started with power rankings. We see everybody's power rankings from week to week. I know that in a lot of power rankings, they have now moved up into the top five. I think the Texans are the second best team after 2 weeks of the season and what happened last week, right behind the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, so it sounds like more who are your top teams after 2 weeks of the NFL season? Yeah. Because if you were just going based on week two, I think the Bills were better. I think the Saints were better. I think Tampa Bay was better. Like, they went into Detroit, beat the Lions. I think the Vikings were better. Like, they beat San Francisco.
I just think overall,
Arizona was better.
The totality of 2 weeks of the season and the fact that I think that on both sides of the football, I would take the Texans against the Saints. I would take the Texans against the Vikings. I would take the Texans. Look, I think the Bills, there's an honest discussion there because of how much better they were than I thought they were. Mm-hmm. But I think that, to me, maybe it's a little homerish, but I'll say right behind the Kansas City Chiefs, the Houston Texans should be number two.
I think the debates probably are they second or are they third. Because if you're going to eliminate all the teams that have lost a game, well, it's a nine-team conversation. It's the Bills, it's the Saints, it's the Vikings, it's the Texans, Chargers, Seahawks, Steelers, Chiefs, and Buccaneers. So if you're eliminating teams that have lost, you're operating with those two. Kansas City's the defending, reigning champion of the world. Then you would have them at the top. And then it's now, you going Bills, you going Texans? How much are you going to put the Saints in that conversation? Probably not a whole lot, even though they destroyed Dallas. On the road, no less. Mm-hmm. So I do think you have to consider them. They have looked great. I mean, their margin of victory is 62 points in the first 2 weeks of the season. No one's even close to that. But I wouldn't have them ahead of the Bills. I wouldn't have them ahead of the Texans. So Chiefs, and the conversation is who's second, Bills or the Texans? If you look at, I mean, the Texans played at Indy, who is 0-2. They beat Chicago at home, who has a rookie quarterback. Buffalo beat Arizona, who looked really good in week two, by 6. And they blew out Miami by 21. And, well, Tua got hurt. Well, they were up 21 when Tua got hurt. So, like, they were up 21 before Tua even got concussed when he ran into DeMar Hamlin. So I would have Buffalo second ahead of the Texans. I would be tempted to have the Saints higher than the Texans based on 2 weeks of results. But the way that you put it, like, if they're playing in a football game in Dallas tomorrow, maybe I shouldn't put it in Dallas because that was kind of the Saints' home turf on Sunday. If they go play at the Alamo Dome, I would pick the Texans to beat the Saints on a neutral field today. But if you're going based on resume after 2 weeks, I'd have the Saints ahead of them.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know. Everybody looks at it differently. I think that there are teams that have lost a game that I still think are going to be legit Super Bowl contenders just because of the fact, like, from the standpoint of, we were talking about this with the 0-2 teams. I think as good as the Chiefs are, I think Cincinnati looked like that they might have been the better team. They just lost the game. I think Cincinnati's got a boatload of talent. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase was right that they're the team to beat, but I think at the end of the year, Cincinnati's still going to be heard from to where I think they're a really good football team.
This is why I hate power rankings, though. They mean nothing. Like, go play. Like, go. Like, this is the beauty of the NFL. Like, there are qualifiers to make the playoffs, and then you have a playoff where you have to play. Like, who cares that I think the Texans could be potentially fourth behind Buffalo and the Saints? They're going to have an opportunity to prove that they are the best team in the NFL.
So then right after week, that's why I said, so instead of doing power rankings, through week two or after week two or just at, because of week two, how many teams are better than the Houston Texans? I think it's just one.
I think that's power rankings.
That is the power ranking.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fine conversation to have because I think that is, okay, are you taking the Bills, you taking the Saints, you taking the Texans? Where do you have the 1-1 teams? Like, if you're going strictly resume, it's hard for me to include the 1-1 teams up there.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. From as good as the Niners looked in week one, then they go and they crap the bed against Minnesota.
Yeah, I would have them off.
And get it that McCaffrey didn't play. But nonetheless, you still had enough weapons and you're still supposed to be such a hyper-talented team. You're not supposed to lose that game and lose it by, you know, they were losing the whole game. So, and Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a team that, you know, basically had the game in their back pocket. They found a way to lose. I think that from a good team perspective, good teams find a way to win that game. They don't lose that game. And I think that that's a knock against them to where I would put the Texans above them right now.
Yeah. Twitch is lighting you up. Big C says, Blankers love you, but you're crazy.
That's because he's a Saints fan.
I know, that's true. Todd, the show, barely beating the Bears isn't a great sign. Cap, neither is barely beating the Colts. 75, barely beating a team with a quarterback who paints his nails as bad. That's a stray.
But, okay, Williams. But you say barely beating the Bears, but we already said that if Tank catches the ball up the seam and they don't fumble inside the 4-yard line with Cam Akers, that's not a barely beating the Bears team. They look like they were in total control of that game all night long.
That's some ifs and buts, though.
But they did that, though. I mean, we could say if Tank catches it and they don't fumble, but Cam did fumble it and Tank did drop it. I mean, that's part of it. Like, the teams that blow other teams out were catching those passes and not fumbling like the Saints didn't.
Okay, but at the same time, they won the game. The margin of victory we talk about all the time, whether it's 2 or 12 or 20, they won the game, and they looked like they were in complete control of the game as opposed to teams that didn't and or lost the game, like Philadelphia.
Well, this is all a beauty contest, though, because there's 9 undefeated teams, so they'd all have the 2-0 record, and now you're comparing basically beauty, who did it more impressively, and the Texans' combined margin of 8 points isn't, if you're strictly looking at resume, an 8-point margin over 2 games isn't going to look as impressive to some of these other teams.
Like, because I'm going to the head-to-head card, too, so I'm looking at roster as well as did you win, if you want to include by what margin did you win, fine. I'm more concerned with did you win, and how much do I believe that you can continue to do that against whoever you play? Mm-hmm. And I believe their roster's better than the Saints. I believe that they're
better. I agree with that part.
Okay. Where do you have them?
I have them second. I had them second last week. I don't see a reason to move off of it. I mean, the 49ers with the injuries to Debo and to Christian McCaffrey, obviously the loss on the road to the Vikings didn't inspire much confidence. The Bills is the tough one. I think that is the debate at 2, Bills or Texans. I had Texans better, so I'm going to keep them better until, you know, they play on the field and prove it otherwise. I do trust CJ more than Josh Allen. And I do trust the defense in Houston, even though they've had some problems. I trust D'Amico more than what they do in Buffalo, so I'll stick with the Texans at 2.
It sounds like we're the College Football Playoff Committee.
A little bit.
Which resume is better?
Strength of schedule.
0426 says New Orleans, 8341. The Saints beat the Panthers and the Cowboys. Big whoopee. I mean, the Cowboys are better than any opponent the Texans have beaten, though.
Yeah, don't dismiss the Cowboys. They've won. We had Brad Kellner pointed this out when we had him on Friday. They've won 12 games in a row, or they've won 12 games in a season 3 years in a row. The Cowboys are a good team. They didn't look like it on Sunday, but you can't dismiss that as some cupcake win like the Texans have had.
No, I mean, they're a playoff team. They're a playoff team, and they got rolled at. I mean, the Saints rolled them in their building. 4-3-2-1, are you kidding me? The Texans are not number two right now. I would put the Bills, the Saints, maybe even the Packers healthy, possibly even
please
Minnesota.
The Packers aren't healthy.
We can't live in this world of ifs. Don't get me involved in that discussion.
3-0-6-6, be careful. Vikings are going to get that butt on Sunday. Skull! 4-5-1-5, what game was Joel watching? Texans did not look good this weekend.
Wish they did,
but the Saints demolished 2 teams in a row just to start with who looked better. I mean, they won by 6. They scored 19 points. The offense was anemic in the second half.
Okay, but
they had 12
you're
penalties.
Saying they didn't look good. They looked good in the first half offensively. I think they looked good all game defensively. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's plenty to see there to say that they are a damn good football team.
I think that they have shown in each of the two games that they have the potential to be really stinking good. I don't think that they've played great football yet.
That's fair. Great football?
And I think the Saints have. I think the Saints have played great.
But to flip that, to say, can the Saints sustain that? And do you feel like the Saints are a team that's going to compete when the playoffs come around? As opposed to the Texans, I would say the answer to New Orleans is no.
This is more of an argument of how you compile your rankings, quite frankly. It's like you're looking at, okay, these teams are good. They've had the wins. They've beaten these teams. And then this is what I predict of them to go forward. Whereas I'm looking at just give me a two-week resume, which, again, I hate this conversation. I think it's stupid. Like in any sport that has a playoff, these conversations are moot. The only time that these conversations ever matter is clickbait and the college football playoff committee before they expanded the playoffs to now 12 teams. And that might matter a little bit whenever you're looking at the teams on the bubble. Same thing with like NCAA tournament. 713-780-3776 out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive of the Bees. What's up?
Hey guys, power rankings. Big game this weekend, obviously Vikings, Texans, a couple of 2-0 teams. At the end of that Niners Vikings game, Brock Purdy went up and Brian Flores had a quick exchange. He said something like this: your scheme is crazy. The Vikings have 11 sacks in two games. How are Texans fans feeling about this game? Is this going to be a tough game?
We'll talk to you about it on Friday. It's too early to do Viking preview radio. Sorry, Keith.
Keith is pseudo program director.
We'll do that stuff more later in the week. 4-3-2-1. The Bears also fumbled on the goal line, so there's that. No, they didn't. The Texans did.
Yeah, like, the Bears didn't
fumble on the goal. Like, I'm not missing that, right?
No, the Texans did that.
Give the Saints time; they'll start to blow it soon. I do agree with that, and that's where the subjectiveness of rankings is kind of what's in play here, where like Blankers doesn't believe in the Saints going forward, which I agree with him. It's just if we're looking at it based on 2 weeks, I think the Saints have been the most impressive team behind the most impressive team.
A lot of it, too, comes down to between the teams themselves and the players on them. You get so many people that want to just attack them like they look like absolute dog snot when you realize – hey, there's something to getting the W. There's something to the fact that there was a whole lot that you can see there.
But eight other teams have done that too, though.
But then
more impressively.
But that's the thing. It gets down to, you know, a lot of times you can put lipstick on a pig. I mean, you got the win now, but do I believe that that's a team that's going to win when it's important? No. Do I believe that when you have teams that are supposed to win when it's important that have already lost multiple games or a game and look bad? And I think that the Texans have they're building in the right direction, and they have a great roster and a lot of talent.
Yeah, you're looking more if they play on a neutral field tomorrow, who's winning.
Yes.
But what if they're playing a neutral field against the Ravens?
Right now, I think I take the Texans over the Ravens.
Okay. 3-0-6-6, Blankers ain't giving the Vikings credit. Vikings legitimately beat the 49ers. It's a good win. It's a good win. 8-3-4-1. Oh, no. Now we're looking at the back of the baseball card at the Cowboys. Like, isn't that how you do power rankings, though? Like, looking at the back of the baseball card on what has been, unburdened by what will be. The Texans have potential to be great. Potential is something that hasn't happened yet. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Chris from Cypress, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What is up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I just want to point out a couple of things about some of these wins that the Vikings and the Saints got. Now, you know, same thing with the Texans. New head coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback. They got surprised by their schemes. They didn't have much tape. Same thing with the Vikings. The Saints got a new offensive coordinator. So now those surprise wins can be contributed to, you know, we coming in, we supposed to beat on these guys, but hey, they brought out these tricks. They brought out something we don't have on tape, and they kind of got these surprise wins. Whereas the Texans, you have a year worth of tape on D'Amico. You have a year worth of tape on CJ and some of their schemes. So that's all I got to say. I wanted to put it out there. So I think those wins can be contributed to that early.
Those are good points, Chris. Appreciate the call. The one thing on the flip side on the Texans, however, is the fact that they did add a whole lot of pieces that you didn't know how D'Amico was going to use because he didn't have them last year.
Yeah, but you have, scheme and stuff. Like, you kind of get a pretty good feel. Now, you can go back and watch, you know, San Francisco stuff whenever you're looking at Clint Kubiak and get an idea. I think Chris's point has some validity. Mm-hmm. I give it a lot of validity. But there ain't nothing that's a surprise about a 44-19 whooping. That's not a surprise. It was 35-16 at the half. Like, that's not a surprise.
And in week one, though, they were talking about how great the Dallas defense looked and the talent on the defense and how Zimmer's just that long-term defensive-minded, football, you know, like really smart defensive coordinator. That was embarrassing.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to some overreactions around the NFL. What are your overreactions around the NFL after the second week
Texans
of
the, number
the
two
year?
Team in the league.
It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
8835, dang y'all, stiff arm Keith's call. Wow, Vikings scheme is crazy. 11 sacks, 2 big wins. Love Keith. I think the Vikings are way better than people give them credit for. Blake Cashman's playing like a wild man. John Gernard hopefully doesn't have a grade 1 ankle sprain. Sam Darnold's better than advertised. Preview radio sucks, especially on a Tuesday.
Has Gernard had any sacks yet?
Well, yeah, I think he had one this past weekend. Yeah, we'll do that Friday. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. I'm not talking Vikings on Tuesday. Preview radio's awful. And I love Keith. Keith gives me his lunches and stuff and tells me to grade them. And they're usually terrible. Usually he eats awful.
Nice. I love Keith, but his taste sucks.
Yeah, he has, I do question his palate. All right, what are your NFL overreactions after week two? 713-780-3776. What is your biggest overreaction after 2 weeks into the year?
Well, there's been a lot. I really believe that as much as everybody's thinking that the end is near for the Ravens and for the Bengals, I saw so much to be encouraged about, especially with the Bengals. And the Ravens, I always find a way to figure it out. For me, it's more about the Bengals. As much as there was concerns in week one about Joe Burrow and he can't pick up a water bottle and Jamar Chase, and that Jamar Chase doesn't play, and then he already makes the statement that everybody's gunning for him for because they're the team to beat. They didn't give you a whole lot of reason to not believe that if they played again that they would have a legit chance to beat Kansas City. I think that the demise of the Bengals has been grossly overrated and that the Bengals are going to be heard from loudly at the end of the year.
Yeah. My biggest – I have two, and mine are division-related. I believe I overrated the AFC South. I think the AFC South is the worst division in the NFL. I think they have one beauty queen in the Houston Texans, and the rest of the division is awful. I think the AFC South is not good. I would go as far to say the worst division in the NFL, and I severely overrated the division as a whole. On top of that, I severely underrated the NFC South. The NFC South is pretty stinking good, at least through 2 weeks. The Saints are 2-0. They blasted Dallas on the road. The Falcons, 1-1. But what did they do last night? They beat Philadelphia in Philly. Tampa Bay's 2-0. They wanted Detroit. Like, the NFC South has built up a resume after 2 weeks that looks pretty nice.
No, there's no doubt about it. I severely underrated Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. I severely underrated the Saints. And Derek Carr, of all people, and Kamara, who I thought didn't have much left in the tank. The Saints have been extremely impressive. They have a legit offense now, and they look really good on both sides of the football. And I think even from a Patriots perspective, I didn't know what Gerard Mayo was going to be. I didn't think their quarterback situation looked great no matter which direction they turned, whether you believe that Drake May was going to get the start, but he wasn't there yet, or Brissett's there again and you don't believe in him. I grossly underrated all three of those teams.
Yeah. Your biggest overreaction, 713-780-3776, 7308. Biggest overreaction, how on the aggregate the Texans' offense has looked pedestrian. I don't know if he's saying that they are or he thinks that's an overreaction to the fact that they haven't been. I think the Texans' offense has been overall good. Mm-hmm. I feel like they haven't been the most efficient in terms of scoring points, but they had 6 of their 10 drives in week one ended in points. 2 of those drives were effective. Into the first half, should have ended in points. Final drive didn't score points in that game, but 4-minute offense didn't allow the Colts to get the football back. So against Indy, I thought 8 of their 10 drives were efficient. That's pretty good production. First half against Chicago, they scored on 4 of their first 5 drives in the first half. Second half, that's where the issue is. But I think the Texans' offense has been generally good 2 games into the year.
Yeah, I think there's room to improve, but I think that's what you want at this point in the season. season, and you look at how many numbers and how much inconsistency there's been offensively across the league, but to know that they have still been very effective. CJ's had better numbers than the majority of the quarterbacks, but with all the weapons that you have, and I think Dalton Schultz, you could say, was underutilized, but he hasn't really been a factor. The fact that Mixon got hurt means when he comes back, that we're not continue to see it, but it looks like that offense from a running game perspective can be really, really good. The line looks really good, and now you lose Juice Scruggs. So I think that they can get better, but I just think that they already shown enough to know that they have an offense to be reckoned with.
Yeah, I don't think they've played close to their best. Mm-hmm. They've shown the potential to be a really good football team. I don't think through 2 weeks they've played like championship contender good. Because you don't have to be there in the first 2 weeks. You got to put yourself in a position to be there late in the year. I think they have a really good chance to do that. 8835, Chiefs should be 0-2. Mahomes is not a good fantasy quarterback without Pacheco. This team will fade. Mahomes is not a good fantasy quarterback. I agree with that. I faded him a lot. Should they be 0-2? That's tough to say. Pacheco's only going to – this isn't a season-ending deal with Pacheco. I think that they're going to be fine. I think they're still going to win games. I think they'll get Pacheco back. I still think they're going to be very dangerous once the playoffs happen.
Yeah, no, look, I think that there's no doubt about it. We can leave it there. I just feel like – how many times have we been through this where you look at the Chiefs and people are saying, even last year, they're done. They don't look the same. They're not going to win it. And all of a sudden, and Kelsey's washed and they don't have the receivers. And at the end of the day, when all is said and done, they're hoisting the trophy for the second time in a row. And you realize Andy Reid is a genius. Patrick Mahomes is damn good, whether it's fantasy points or not. And they make the best of the players that they have. And, oh, by the way, their defense that everybody still sleeps on, their defense is still a massive reason why they're back-to-back Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, overreaction. Will Levis will be benched for Mason Rudolph? That is an overreaction. I don't think he's going to be benched.
I don't think they're going to. Look, I think the Callahan did what he did to basically make the point of you know you have to be better, but the ability is still enough, and it's there, that they're going to keep rolling with him.
Yeah, I don't think Callahan thinks he's in desperation to win this year.
No, he's just got to get a wake-up call and a kind of a swift kick in his ass that says, stop doing that.
Yeah, I mean, Levis has potential. He really does. Mm-hmm. Now, he makes really stupid plays, and he's trying to beat that out of him. 8755, I'm overreaction. I'm the guy that texted in last week saying Tank looked rusty. I'm still saying he looks rusty. But another thing to think about, he may be a slow starter. Took a while for him last year. Is Tank Dell the Texans version of Alex Bregman?
No. I think as his career goes on, he's not going to do this every year. And sometimes it happens to the best of them. I don't have that kind of feeling with Tank Dell.
7584, biggest overreaction has to be people talking about the Saints as a legitimate Super Bowl contender. See, I will not go to those extremes. Mm-mm. I can say that the Saints, 2 weeks into the year, have the second best resume in the NFL, maybe the top resume in the NFL, but I do not think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
No, I don't either.
I think they can win the division.
I think two things can be said. They're surprising. They're talented. They're way better than I thought they were going to be. But do I think that they're a Super Bowl contender? No. And even that's saying, even in the NFC, when you basically have a very top-heavy conference, I don't think that they're one of the top heavies.
Ocho, my overreaction is Fairbairn's a better kicker now than Justin Tucker ever was. Ocho's got some hot takes.
That is extremely.
He's got some heaters. I love it. Andy Dalton, that's a cash or trash him. No cash or trash him's there. Here's a couple of the other NFL overreactions from ESPN. The Saints are the best team in the NFL. NFC, my bad. NFC.
Either way, huge overreaction. I just said that in a top-heavy NFC, who's they're not better, one of the top-heavies. San Francisco
they
at
lost.
The end of the year is
San Francisco lost
San
at Minnesota.
That's for the end of the year, right?
Yeah, it's just like who you have the most confidence in.
I have the most confidence in the San Francisco 49ers. I have the second most confidence, believe it or not, still in the Philadelphia Eagles.
Who lost at home against Atlanta.
But at the end of the year, I think everything will be fine.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was the right play call. And I think Saquon's going to make that play. And if he stays healthy, he's a huge upgrade in their running game. And I think the Lions are better
than
the
Saints. Who lost at home against
Tampa Bay. And I still think that based on where they've been and what they've done, they will be heard from again.
No, I think it's an overreaction, too. The Panthers will draft a quarterback at number one overall for the second time in 3 years.
If they have the worst record, yes. I think regardless, I think they're drafting a quarterback as long as it's a high first-round pick.
I don't think so. I don't think it's a good quarterback draft. I think they're going to go a different direction. I still think that they're going to try to get Bryce Young going. Sam Darnold will lead the Vikings to the playoffs.
Oh, God, overreaction. No way.
NFC's kind of soft.
I should have said that. I should have picked them as one of the three 2-0 teams. And that's on me, but I'll stick with what I said. But I still think as good as Sam Darnold has been early on, and I think they're going to be decent all year, and they've got weapons, I don't think that they're going to be a playoff team.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Let's get to our Will of Bits. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be really stinking good. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Hey, sports bettors, that's you. Brian, I'm here to tell you about my favorite sports book and casino. That's BetUS.com. Football is back, so it's time to get in on the action. I endorse one sports book and casino, and that's BetUS. If you want a game plan to win this season, then check out BetUS. BetUS went large for you this season with a huge offer, a 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. That's right, a 125% bonus on your first three deposits. BetUS offers value other sportsbooks simply do not. Gambler's insurance, crypto bonuses, casino bonuses, plus they have all the products you need. Competitive odds, parlays, live betting, odds boost, prop betting. When you're ready to lay down your bet, give your bet an edge. Why not combine your sign-up bonus with knowledge? Get that knowledge with expert analysis, picks, and predictions on all major sports on their very own BetUS TV. Get started today at BetUS.com or give them a call at 1-800-MY-BETUS. BetUS, where the game begins.
ESPN 97.5. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's that time of year again. We want to thank all our loyal listeners at our 2024 Listener Appreciation Party. Join the team from ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for an evening of food from Philly Flats, BB's Tex Orleans, J Bar M, Lanes, and Halal Guys. Drinks we provided from Tejas Beer and Space City Vodka. There will also be a raffle where you can win a great prize from the Republic Boot Company, but that's not it. The 2022 Astros Trophy will also be at the listener party, and you'll be able to take a picture with the trophy. Caller number 3 right now to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to our ESPN listener party for behind-the-scenes look at where and how your favorite shows and videos are made. We're only giving away a certain amount of tickets. You'll need one to come to the party. So if you don't win now, you can still head to ESPN975.com under the promotions tab to secure your tickets today. Ocho says, shout out to the $5 value at McDonald's because these $8 to $12 combo meals are criminal. I have seen inflation at fast food places. It is expensive now to get a little cheap burger.
He ain't wrong about the deals at McDonald's, though. My kids, because they love the nuggets and those bundles and the deals that they got going, they're solid.
Yeah, they aren't the worst thing in the world. Texans worked out Irv Smith Jr. today, tight end. Maybe it's just to get eyes on him in case they need a tight end in the future.
Alabama, right? Back in the day?
I don't know.
I think he's a Bama guy that was drafted high but just never lived up to expectations.
Not sure. And then UH Football Stadium is a new name. Space City Financial Stadium. It sounds so good. Doesn't that sound good?
It's easier to roll off the tongue than the
TDECU Stadium. Doesn't Space City Financial Stadium sound way better than TDECU Stadium?
You're telling me it was like brought to you by the network.
No. There's no relation.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I had never heard of it, but it does.
It's new. It was a merger.
Okay, cool. I like it.
Yeah, it was a merger. Yeah, it's a way better name. Honey Glaze Branham on the text line asking us, are you going to give Juggalo Trey his flowers for going on Kill Tony? I didn't see the actual bit. I saw people tweeting about it. I saw his picture on it, but I didn't see it.
What is Kill Tony?
It's like a comedian that like roast you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he's big time.
I'm extremely proud of Trey.
No, Kill Tony is.
Oh, I'm proud of Trey because Trey had issues with like being in stage fright and being in front of people and even talking on a microphone. To him, doing stand-up comedy is one thing, but the fact that he's getting gigs, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, that was. I did not expect to see that on my timeline today. I'll have to go back and watch it. If somebody has it, actually tweet it at me. I don't know exactly where to find it, or I don't want to
watch that.
Yeah, send it to us. Tweet it at us at Pac-Man Joel at Jeremy Branham. I do want to watch that bit. All right, let's get to our Will of Bits.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous bit.
Let's give out great life advice.
Great life advice. Someone's offering you a bet on the text line. Blankers, I'm willing to bet a bottle of whiskey. My Titans beat your Packers. Care to take the bet?
I'm not betting on that quarterback.
He goes, are you kidding me? I'll pay up if I lose.
Do you believe him?
I made a whiskey bet with Joe George. He hasn't paid me. He hasn't paid up for that one.
He hasn't paid me my hat either.
Yeah. So, great life advice.
Yeah, so I need some life advice on how to handle a situation. Maybe this is something we could do on a semi-regular basis. Some of this would fit into Mailbag Monday, obviously. But if anyone needs life advice, I think there's no three better guys to ask.
No question.
So, definitely hit us up.
Definitely one.
Yeah, we're not going to tell you which one, but you can only listen to one of us.
Someone will.
But anyway, so it was my birthday recently. And my sister sent me a gift. She doesn't live in Houston, so there's no chance that she's listening. She lives in San Antonio. And so I get this gift in the mail today. I open it up, and there's a book in there that's fine. It wasn't a book I'd heard of, but it's fine. And then the other item is what you guys have now seen in your text. It's like this license plate thing to hang up in your room and somewhere in your house. I do have a man cave. But it doesn't seem like she looked fully at this thing, because it says Little Man Cave, which is clearly, and you see the graphics on it, yes, it's clearly designed for a 12-year-old. I'm 41. I don't know how, I think I just have to lie to my sister, right? And just say, hey, great, I love it. That's very thoughtful of you, but I don't know how to respond to her, because she's like, I got it today, so she's expecting a text or a call at some point. To thank her for this gift, I'm sure. But she sends me this, and it's so clearly with the graphics and the words Little Man Cave, designed for a 12-year-old. So, I mean, do I thank her for it? What do I say? Do I hang this up in my room when she's over to visit my child? Like, how do I handle this?
Maybe she's not saying you're like a little man. Maybe she's saying your man cave's little, and she's shaming your man cave.
But she's not spelling it L-I-L.
You think she's not aware of the fact that she bought you a child's gift?
I don't think she is.
I would go, ha ha, you got me. I see what you did there. You poked fun of me with the kid sign, but the book I loved.
No.
Yeah, but if she doesn't know that she sent me a kid's gift, is she then like mad or like upset at herself or mad at me for calling her out on it? Like, I could see this going in a way where she takes it poorly. And is it worth?
See, I don't value the relationship with my sister that much, so I would be brutally honest. But that's so I don't give that advice to you, because I don't know if everybody's
wow,
like
we
that.
We found out some truths today on the show.
Big time.
Here's what I would do. And I'm usually pretty blunt. I would thank her for the gift. Hey, thanks for the gift. Appreciate it. Means a lot. Love you. And then I would re-gift this. That's what I would do.
You guys' birthday's in June, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't have a man cave though, so
okay. I don't either anymore.
Okay. Damn.
I think that's what you have to. I think you're just gonna have to re-gift it.
Branham's got kids though, so he can make it
true.
For their room. That could be the little man.
Branham
cave.
Baby needs something like
if
this.
If you give this to me, it's gonna end up in the trash. So I mean, that's your prerogative. If you want to give it to me, fine.
Well, it's gonna end up in someone's trash.
We know you're not giving up the Jason Statham autobiography she got you.
No,
so we just have to deal with the sign.
Why don't you just hang it up?
Because it's for a child.
What if she comes over and she's expecting to see it?
It says Little Man Cave. It's so obvious.
How big is your man cave?
It's a normal room. I haven't measured it. It's a normal bedroom size.
What if she comes over? How frequently does she come to Houston?
Like 4 times a year.
So she
what if it's not us?
Well, see, that's the thing. She's usually only here, to be honest, she's mostly here to visit my daughter. Uh-huh. So she's not going to really be in the man cave. So I don't think she'll necessarily see
it. That doesn't necessarily mean she doesn't kind of look at the house, walk around, maybe, see what you've done.
But she's going to be in the living room like 99% of the time.
I think well, that she's other shaming, 1% could be a killer.
I think she's shaming your man cave, quite frankly. Man. I don't think...
That would be a bold move.
I don't think she was... I think she's having a little fun. What's her personality like?
Not someone that would do that.
She doesn't like fun.
I don't think that's her sense of humor, no.
Are y'all twins?
No. No, she's 2 years younger.
What do you have hung up in your man cave?
I mean, there's like an Oilers fat head. There's some Longhorns memorabilia. There's not a lot. There's like my famous Muhammad Ali Sonny Liston poster. Oh. Some boxing gloves signed by Raul Marquez. not a whole lot.
I think you should hang it up just outside the door. And then you should touch it every time you walk
like
in.
Like a name sign.
Yeah, that I think is an idea. You should consider that. Sleep on it.
Feel like a little man today when you walk into the cave.
Oh, my God.
Cap says put the sign behind something else, and if she happens to notice, tell her it fell. That's a great idea.
That's really well played.
Like, do you have drawers in there or, like, cabinets or a TV stand?
Yeah.
Just put it behind
she
it.
She legit may be looking for
oh,
it.
Oh, that's
a That's a
yeah,
really
like
good
right
idea.
Right behind the oh, it was on the wall, but
Twitch
it fell down behind the TV
fish
stand.
Is saving the day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're going to give it away, throw it away. It's
that's the
same
winner.
Thing as hiding it behind something.
Yeah.
That's the
and
winner.
Then it fell off the wall.
It
sorry.
Off, yeah. All you have to do is put
here
up little pins. Oh, there it was. But look, one of the pins is down.
Keep a couple of thumbtacks nearby. Yeah. Say, you know what? Must have fallen down.
Or you could just actually hang it up when she's there and then hide it behind the TV stand when she's not.
I don't want it up, man.
But then hide it. Hide
yeah,
it behind something where it falls.
I think that's the winner. I think you hide it. I hide it behind like a shelf, and she asks, like, "Oh, it was right there, but it must have fallen off the wall."
Yep. Faux a fall
because you can't regift it. She may go looking for it.
Personally, I wouldn't care, but I'm kind of ruthless.
So, would you toss it if it was if this was your sibling giving it to you?
There's a chance I might regift it. But it doesn't. I mean, probably not a great regift.
No, it's not.
So
it's
I'd probably
it's a bad gift.
I mean, I would either throw it away or hide it, like, in the annals of my closet.
I would definitely, if I wasn't concerned about feelings, there's no doubt I would give it away.
Do you have a little man cave, though?
No, I would give it to Joe's son.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, a little man cave for his room.
Yeah, because, it's probably maybe a little designed for kids a little bit older than Joe's kid, but this is not designed for anyone older
than
12.
Jeremy's already said he's not going to put it up for baby Brandon baby.
No.
So you give it to Joe's kid. Joe would definitely put it up.
Okay.
You think? Why do you think he definitely would?
Because I just feel like those are the kind of things that he'd be all right, he'd be cool with.
Maybe he just says yes to your bad gifts and he hides them behind TV stands.
First of all, who's to say they're bad gifts?
Him.
Well, his wife didn't because she unsolicited told me that he's wearing the sweatsuit I got him.
Brian, are you gonna tell your sister it was a bad gift?
No, not a chance.
Do you think Brian thinks it's a bad gift?
Oh, I 100% think it's a bad gift.
So I don't know if that's the 100% authority there, Blakers.
I do want to test maybe trying to give this to Joe, though. See if he puts it up.
He definitely would put it up for JJ.
And if he does, then I'll go with the backup plan of saying it fell down.
That's a good call.
And just tell me, I might need that back 4 times a year when my sister comes to town. Don't throw it away.
5667, are you the little brother?
No, I'm 2 years older.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, the little is not great there. Joe's basically a replacement Trey Campbell. Gifted to her child.
She doesn't have one.
Okay, that makes it tough. Can't do that.
Nope.
Hang it behind the open door. That one says, I swear the Bears fumbled. No, you're wrong. Brian, hang up the gifts. Say thank you to your sister and carry on. No.
That's a bad look.
That's the mature approach, but...
Yeah, no. But for 365, I don't want that hanging in the man cave.
You guys have seen the picture. Would you want that hanging up in your man cave?
No, not at all.
9953, do your families not listen daily? Won't the sister hear this? My family doesn't listen to me whenever I'm in the room.
My wife, I don't think, has ever listened to the show. My sister lives in another city. She's not listening to the show.
My sister's in Wisconsin, and even if we were in the same room, she wouldn't listen to me.
Uncle Barney, Uncle Jack will listen. My wife will listen sometimes when she's in the car. Sometimes in the car. BMAC is 41. Holy cow. Was it a goofy-type gift? Brian said she didn't really have that personality.
No.
I'll be honest. When you showed it to me for the first time, and when you came on the air and said it's more of a license plate-sized, I was thankful because I was scared to death. If that was big and like a poster-sized... That ain't going up.
Yeah, no, if you thought it was like a street sign size, no, thankfully it's not.
Anything like that would have been too large for even if it was a joke.
Peter says, I'd rather get advice from Twitch than you guys. Well, Peter, you're dumb.
That's really stupid.
She did that because she's making fun of you.
I don't think that's her personality.
Yeah, either or she's like very subtle. And she's like playing mind games.
Yeah, I mean, this is one
you.
Of the things you have to know the person, but I would be shocked if this was a joke.
All right. Well, best of luck with whatever you decide to do.
Hope the book was.
Let
I
us
think
know.
I'm going to give it to Joe.
Was the book spot on?
It's fine. I mean,
he just got it.
It's a sports book.
But
it's
I mean,
fine.
Was it apropos for him, or did that gift suck too?
How is he going to know it's good already?
He might have gotten him a freaking Barney book or something instead of a book that he'd actually read.
It was a sports book. I'll check it out.
What was the book?
It's something about like best sports quotes. I don't know. It seemed very generic, but whatever.
So it's something you read on the toilet.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
God.
It is. Jeremy's right. It is. It's what we would have read on the toilet before we had cell phones in our hands.
Yeah.
Who reads a book on the crapper?
Before we
Everybody.
Had cell phones
no.
in our hand.
I'm in and I'm out. I'm not wasting time. I'm not going to sit there just reading a book.
You didn't have the magazine rack
You have a wife and two kids. That's a place you go for solace.
No.
100%.
713.
I go to the couch. It'll be fine.
713-780-3776. Where do you take the book? All right. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word for Stella Rosa Wines. Look, I've been telling you about them. They're fantastic. They can go with just about anything you're serving for your viewing party or your game watch program. It's phenomenal. Multiple flavors. We had the pineapple last week. The week before that, we had one of the reds. Absolutely refreshing. Served chilled. You can drink it all day long. You're not going to feel too much of the effect, but it's going to be exactly what goes with whatever you're eating and serving to your company, and they're going to love it. And on top of that, Stella Rosa Wines is also giving you an opportunity to go to the biggest college football game of the season. That's right. All you got to do is drink Stella Rosa Wines. But more importantly than that, just go check out the ESPN LA DreamTicket.com site, and you can register to get your chance to go to the biggest college football game of the season. Drink and pair Stella Rosa Wines with all your snacks and game day treats. But get in on that contest with a chance to win because they want you to see that big game. ESPN LA DreamTicket.com gets you in the sweepstakes for your chance to win. Stella Rosa, found at your local retailer. Just remember, enjoy it chilled and always celebrate responsibly.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texans signed Scott Quisenberry to their practice squad. Probably not a great sign for Juice Scruggs. Groin injury. Although Aaron Wilson says he's on track to return this week. Hello? No, Aaron. I saw Aaron this weekend. Talked to him for 20 minutes, actually.
20 minutes?
Yeah. Wow. Talked to Aaron for 20 minutes this week. He might have given me a piece of his mind. This is Hunter Brown's music. He's on the mound today. Astros have not released a lineup yet. But Hunter Brown, 11-8, 3.59 ERA. Going against Michael King, 12-9, 3.06 ERA. What are you expecting for Hunter Brown?
A 6 1/3, 2 runs.
I'll take it.
I believe that.
Is that enough to win the game?
It is. Yeah, because he's pitching on the other side, too. I believe the Astros are going to get a win.
Astros have also announced that Ben Gamble's been placed on the 10-day IL with a left fibula fracture.
Oh, my.
Do you remember what the diagnosis was?
Cal Tucker-ish.
Did he sleep on it wrong?
He left the game with a knee contusion. He left. They were calling this a knee contusion for Ben Gamble.
And now he's got a leg fracture?
And now it's a left fibula fracture. Who is diagnosing the injuries for the Houston Astros? Who's diagnosing
them? Diagnosing is the wrong word. They're just lying.
They're guessing.
Yeah, they're just making it up and lying to us.
I listened to a podcast once about Dr. Death, which is a guy who like faked his way through medical school and was like doing these surgeries and basically guessing.
Yep.
He was guessing.
That's safe.
This is, I think Dr. Death is diagnosing the Houston Astros.
I think you're probably right.
From a knee contusion to a left fibula fracture.
I mean, that's on par. I mean, we remember Javier. Neck bone so turns into the UCL.
Just add it to the list, Brian. It's a laundry list at this point.
So weird.
It definitely is a laundry list.
So weird. All right. Soccer Matters coming up after us. Keep it here. Listen to Glenn Davis, legendary soccer commentator. Jorge Ramos, Dynamo defender Eric Svechinko. And then we'll talk Champions League as well coming up at the top of the hour. Let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
All right, Blankers, what are you nominating?
You just said it. I was going to say the Astros offense last night, but the Astros medical staff / PR department / diagnosis team, wherever the hell you should, maybe you should just go back to the word discomfort, because you can't do wrong right at this point.
I mean, the fibula is like, that's not even close. I mean, isn't that
what Pacheco just hurt?
It is, yeah. He broke the fibula. Tank broke his fibula. Charlie Morton, that line drive in the World Series, broke his fibula. Branham playing pickup ball at the YMCA in college, broke his fibula. Drove myself to the X-ray machine. They didn't see it. That was the one they didn't see.
Was Tucker's that was fractured?
They said that was actually like the back of the tibia.
Okay.
Yeah, the fibula's on the side.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Yeah, it's a good nominee. I was going to nominate that one, too, so I'm glad that you did. Nick Sirianni, I'll give him the car wreck of the day. Like, oh, Saquon Barkley dropped that ball. No, it's Nick Sirianni. Nick Sirianni's a jabroni. I'll take a shot at Nick Sirianni every chance I get. All right, what are you nominating?
I'll quickly nominate this clip from Mad Dog trying to name a Seattle Seahawks wide receiver.
The Seahawks blocked a 48-yard field goal with 4 minutes left, which would have put the Pats up 6. That was a big play in this game. Smith played well, and his receivers, Metcalf caught 10, Jackson Smith and Gujuba, the kid from Ohio State, he caught 12 more.
He was erring on the side of caution, which sometimes you have to do with that word.
Well done, Mad Dog. Never change.
Juba.
You gotta take the side. You gotta err on caution.
Honestly, it could have gone worse.
Oh, yes, it could have.
It could have gone way worse.
With him, too, yes.
Car wreck of the day, the last segment. Car wreck of the day, the Eagles for out-falconing the Falcons. Josh Mercybrook, and then, okay, that was probably Keith telling us about this that old guy. All right, what's winning?
Easily the Astros.
Medical staff.
From a knee contusion to a broken fibula. Yeah.
He might be out till next year.
Oh, he's done for the year. That's a 6 to 8 week injury.
That's brutal.
Hey, he's done for the year.
Well, if it's the Astros, he might wake up tomorrow and be fine.
No, they never.
Watch him be on the playoff roster.
They never over-exceed expectations. How did they wait 3 days to get him on the IL? He has a broken bone in his fibula. It's probably because they didn't look. So weird. So bad.
Not weird, bad.
They win. That does it for us. He's Brian. He's Blank. I'm Brian. I'm talking to you tomorrow, Houston. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters right now at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.